This is a clip from the speech I delivered at the American Society of Journalists and Authors Writers Conference in April. The topic was perfecting your nonfiction book proposal, and I was on the panel to cover nonfiction children's books. My audience is journalists, and one of the things that I focused on in my particular speech is how journalists who spend their lifetime writing nonfiction are perfectly poised to write nonfiction books for kids. So this is a clip from that speech.
You can try the familiar techniques from your current career and use them to write saleable nonfiction and fiction for a new audience. If you've written nonfiction books or newspaper or magazine articles and or journal articles, you know the skills necessary already to develop a slant, gather facts, weave them into coherent writing, and then market them. What if you could take those same skills and create books for children? Writing nonfiction is a really great way to break into the children's marketplace. There's a large arena for nonfiction books, as I said, like action, animals, behind the scenes, biographies, computers, health, beauty, games, gardening, holidays, how-to, religion. This is only a portion of the subjects I gave you in your handout. If you haven't gotten it, it's in the back of the room. The subjects available for children's books are enormous. I mean, there's just so many that you can write a book about. There are also dozens of magazines that accept nonfiction proposals, articles. You may have attended a conference yesterday on that topic, like Boys Life, Cricket, Highlights, Cobblestone. The topics there are as varied as that of the adult market and then include careers, cooking, crafts, history, hobbies, interviews and profiles, puzzles, sports, and technology. Furthermore, as I alluded to a moment ago, nonfiction for young children, for young readers, continues to grow in popularity simply because children have a voracious need to know why. Anyone who's ever met a child knows that. They want to know why things happen, how they happen, and how that impacts their lives. They are perhaps the much better audience than adults because they're just so open to anything you have to share. So here's what you already know. You need to develop a slant. Before you can even begin writing an article or a book, you have to find your hook. You already know that. That one approach to the topic that sets your work apart from what is already out there on a specific subject. Without that slant, you don't even know where to begin with your information. The same applies for children's writing. Your book or article idea has to convince an editor that you're offering a unique twist on a topic. Sorry. In developing your slant for a young audience, it always helps to keep in mind the wonder of childhood, trying to pinpoint what will excite them. For instance, let's say you want to write a book about recycling because it's a topic of import to you and you want to teach children all about it. That's great. But how will you focus your material? Rather than write about why we should all recycle, children might like to know about all the items that have been made with recycled materials, like playgrounds and buildings. To them, that's interesting. You still get the same message across, but you're doing it in a much more visual and intriguing way. When I wrote the series about weather, I knew that kids would be fascinated by all the weird things that weather does. So I wrote about a tornado that took a cow from one farm and gently deposited it on another. I also wrote about hailstones that had fish and frogs and, in one case, a turtle inside them. And kids absolutely love that information. I mean, we don't, of course, but kids do. So obviously, developing a slant such as this then makes the book more entertaining and then, of course, more marketable. You can also imagine, as you write for adults, that nonfiction for children has to be impeccably researched and thoroughly fact-checked against reliable sources. This responsibility is particularly important since students might use your books and articles as research for their school reports. You don't want to be blamed for giving them an F. I mean, you just don't want to be responsible for such things. So you definitely need to be on top of your facts. And teachers may use them to supplement their lessons. So it's really very crucial that you've done your research ahead of time. Further, nonfiction for children, as for adults, has to contain all the essential details so the reader fully understands the topic. And that means describing why weather starts, how it can be dangerous, how it can help the environment, all the details about weather, not just weird things that it does. But keep in mind that though writers sometimes think that creating for children will be easier than writing for adults, and I cannot tell you how many times I've been told that, oh sure, I'd like to write a children's book. It's not easy. In fact, it can actually be harder. That's because when you write for adults, you can presume that your reader has a certain level of knowledge about your topic. They've heard it before, at least, if they don't know that much about it. You cannot make the same assumption with children. For instance, you research the topic of healthy eating, but then realize that you have to mention eating disorders. But then you're stumped on how to explain that such a serious topic to a third grader. It can start to feel like a slippery slope as one explanation has to lead to another. Writing for children is very complicated, very complicated. The bottom line is that fact-gathering strategies that you currently use, from interviews to exhaustive research, are still crucial. But you also need to go beyond that to be sure that you're that you're able to painstakingly explain in language that children will understand every aspect of your topic. If you've not already done so, like I said, ask your new friend, the children's librarian, ask a child, ask a teacher. Ask them to identify the areas of your book that need more clarity. A child's great. They can say, I don't know what an eating disorder is. What do you mean by this? That is what you need to do in terms of gathering your information. Here's another point that's already familiar to you. You already know that quality nonfiction writing takes facts and uses them to tell a story. Whether it's about the economic impact of tax cuts on a group of individuals, or how a professional baseball player overcame a life-threatening disease to lead his team to the pennant. You know that readers respond best to a topic when it's brought to life with the anecdotes and quotes from the people most impacted. Now imagine that the audience of readers is children. The old advice to show, not tell, is particularly necessary to entice a young audience that is so much more attuned to the multimedia than we are. I mean, they are growing up in a world that never didn't have blogs and the internet and high-definition TV. So in order to get them to pay attention, to entice them to read what you have to share, you must tell a wonderful story. So you're going to use the techniques you already use, like anecdotes and your-their reports and ample description. When I wrote my series of career books for kindergarten through second graders, I had to use words to illustrate what it's like to be in a busy chef's kitchen and see her hands moving as rapidly as a hummingbird's wings as she sliced vegetables, or to be in a sculptor's studio and hear the popping of molten metal as it's dropped into the cold water to cool. In this way, my readers could get a sense of what it was like to be there while also learning some vital information.